Devonshire Real 2. You were just telling me about the circumstances in which you were wounded.
Yes, I was wounded and I got the truck away. And then I had to stop and they had to go and finish the job we were going to do. That was survey another part of the desert. So they left me hidden in the desert behind a boulder. And they went on and did the job. And then they called for the aeroplane with the colonel. Came in and it was a whack old plane, the two of them, with a New Zealander was the pilot. And they picked me up and put my legs down the back of the car, and I sat with my back to the colonel's seat. And they took me back to the base. And then an aeroplane came and picked me up in the desert to take me to the 15th Scottish Hospital in Carlow. And that was, from then on, I really finished all contact with the LRDG until I came out to hospital. And they wanted me to stay and be a cook, and I didn't want to be a cook. So I asked them to let me be returned to unit. So I went back to the unit and joined the RAS, Royal Army Service Corps. That's where I got demobbed.
Do you know whereabouts it was in the desert that you were wounded?
Well, all I know, it was 100 miles away from the lines. That's all, but in the desert, you know, you didn't know where you were until you went. The only places were on the coast, mainly.
Was anybody else wounded when you... So the Germans had laid an ambush, had they?
Yes. Well, I don't think it was an ambush. I think we just dropped in on them when they didn't expect us, you know what I mean? And they opened fire. But fortunately, I don't know what it was. They only seemed to open fire once. And whether they beat it then, I don't know, because we beat it.
So is it just one shot they fired?
Seemed to be, yes. And it had my name on it.
Could you see the Germans?
No, I didn't look for them. No, we didn't see them at all. We just we didn't have time. We scarpered right away.
So you didn't see the German who shot you?
No.
Was this hilly country or flat country or what?
It was flat, mainly flat country, but the wadis, they were in a wadi.
So they were firing up at you?
Yeah. But other than that, they didn't affect their patrol at all. They did the job they were supposed to do, and that was a good thing.
Were you in much pain when you were hit?
Not really. See, the bullet went through and cut the sciatic nerve that works all down there. And, of course, I'm still paralysed in the butt. Can only move my toes like that. And, because in those days, when I went in there, I would think today they would have joined it again. They just said, no, we'll leave it. And so I was left with the only half cut through the sciatic nerve that works everything down here. But it hurts now and again when the arthritis gets mixed up with it. It really does hurt. But other than that, it's not bad.
So this is your left leg?
Left leg, yes.
Did the bullet hit the thigh or the calf?
Pardon? It just went straight through here. To behind the knee and out the other side. Because it didn't hit the bone at all. Only the sciatic nerve that makes the... Well, you've got all the nerves at the back here, and it hit that one.
Were you satisfied with the hospital treatment you got?
Oh, yes. They looked after me very well. I mean, don't forget, in those days, a lot of the doctors and people that had come were sort of people coming out of hospital training, but they did very well indeed. I mean, on the plane coming when I came, but coming to the hospital, there was a chap there lost his leg, and the people on the plane were looking after him and fixing him all up, and he did very well in Scottish in Cairo. And they did a good job, got to admit. Under the circumstances, I thought our treatment was very good.
And you were wounded, you say, after Alamein?
Oh, yes.
Well, Alamein was November 1942, so it must have been after that. Was it a long time after Alamein or shortly after Alamein?
Let me just think that out a bit. No, I think it was before Alamein. But when we came back again, we had to do a big detour round to get back to Cairo because of Alamein. Yes.
Had you done many operations with the Y Patrol before you were wounded?
Three, I think. I've done three or four.
Have you got any memories of the operations you did before you were wounded?
Not really. Some of them, you see, what we used to do is we used to go to the coast road and hide the trucks, and then we'd go to the coast road and survey what the Germans were bringing forward, and then we used to wireless that back to headquarters, so that they could inform our troops and our air forces what was going on. And that was called road watching. We used to do quite a bit of that.
Did you use binoculars?
We had binoculars, but we usually got as close to the road as we possibly could, where you could hide, you know.
What kind of terrain did you hide in?
If you found a little hole or somewhere in the desert with the bags of them, you just used to sit in there and wait, watch them. Get as near as you could and get whatever cover you could get.
Could you get a good view of them?
Oh yes, we used to get quite near, if possible. And then after we'd surveyed for quite a while, like a full day, we would then wireless that all back, what was moving, whether they were tanks or whether they were trucks or whatever they were.
Could you identify the different kinds of German tank?
No, we just said they were tanks.
You didn't know the difference between the different types?
No.
Could you tell whether they were German or Italian?
No, all the trucks, because they were all mixed up and you couldn't tell which was which. But you knew they were ammunition trucks, most of them.
Did they ever see you whilst you were hiding?
No, funny enough, I don't recall anybody of any patrol that was caught doing that. One patrol was caught when it was coming away, with going back to base and by the aircraft again, and they were lucky they didn't get any injuries. But aircraft was our main worry when we done patrols, because they used to patrol round and they knew what we were and they'd have us if they could.
What was the wireless equipment heavy?
No. We had one truck with the wireless equipment on it, the side, was put in. And at night, we put an aerial up to get any instructions we got plainer than normal. No knowing that we'd be quite safe at night.
Did the wireless equipment work well?
Oh yes, very good.
Did you ever operate it yourself?
No, I haven't operated it. He did the whole lot.
Did you have pencils and notebooks to note down what you could see?
No, we just took it all in and remembered what we'd seen. We carried as little as we could.
How long were you watching for at a time?
Around about an hour or 2 hours, and then you'd get relieved if we were going to stay any longer. You could get a good idea of what was moving in a couple of hours with no problem at all.
Was there a great mass of enemy traffic on the road, or was it just the...
On the coast road, they were going both ways. You know, some were coming back empty, some were coming back full, and they were supplying the dumps, a lot of them, the ammunition dumps, and everything ready for their advances, which they didn't get much chance to do in the end.
Did you ever see any crashes of vehicles on the roads?
No. We had one trouble one time when we were in the desert, and one of our own planes came to shoot at us. He thought we were Germans, so we had to dash and put an identification down to let him see that we weren't Germans.
What was the identification?
We just laid a mat in a cross like that. In a cross, so that he could see what they were.
What kind of mats?
They were sand mats, actually, that we use again for getting out of difficulties in the soft sand. They were rolled up on the side of the truck. It took a couple of minutes to get them off.
What were they made out of?
Canvas.
Or what colour were they?
I would say they were fawn.
Was that a pre-arranged signal with the RA?
Yes. The thing was, you see, I understand that our headquarters informed the RA where we would be or where we were going, but I don't think this pilot understood what was going on. Fortunately, he didn't do any harm at all to any of us, or to our trucks. I think I've covered a lot of it now.
Did you enjoy doing the work with the LRDG?
Oh yes, I did. I don't kid yourself, at times it was very scary, but at the same time we were doing a damn good job, and that's what I was there for.
What were the most scaring times?
Scaring time was mainly the aircraft, German aircraft.
Did you ever use Arab dress?
Arab?
Dress?
No. And you didn't do that because you never know whether you could trust them. That was why you never used them. You might. If you were in a little wadi or in a little isolated town, a village, you might get in touch with the Mukhtar there and ask them, had they seen any Germans or anything like that. But other than that, that's as far as negotiation would do with them.
Did you ever dress in Arab clothes?
No. We had Arab gaffer hats to keep the sun off us. They were issues. We used them now and again. I didn't like them very much, so I'll be honest with you. I'd use my old tea cap.
Why didn't you like them?
They're hanging down on me, you know. I didn't like them hanging down on me.
Did you ever fall sick in the desert? Did you ever fall ill in the desert?
No.
Was it a healthy place to be in?
I would say it was mediocre. Sometimes it was okay, very good. Other times it was very bad.
What was the worst thing about it?
The worst of it was the sandstorms, mainly. They were the worst of the lot. We used to sleep at the side of our trucks, you know, at night. When we weren't going anywhere, we'd park our trucks. And we used to sleep in the side of the trucks for the night. And then get away in the morning.
What would happen to you in a sandstorm?
Well, you just, you know, you're breathing it and you're in your eyes and in your ears and everywhere. It was terrible. You had nothing to do, cover yourself, really. We were better on the move when the sandstorm was on because the windscreen and that of the truck kept away a lot of it. But it's been worse places, I suppose, than that.